Welcome to another episode of Arab Voices, coming to you from the studios of KPFT Houston since 2002. Houston's community station, 90.1 FM and FM HD1. This is Saeed, executive producer and host of Arab Voices. This show is syndicated and it airs on other radio stations in different cities in the US and Europe. The Palestine Center in Washington, D.C. held its annual Hisham Sharabi Memorial Lecture dedicated to Professor Hisham Sharabi, the founder of the Jerusalem Fund and Palestine Center, on May 24, 2023. The guest speaker was Dr. Bassam Haddad, associate professor at the Shar School of Policy and Government at George Mason University and a former student of Professor Sharabi. The topic of Professor Haddad's talk was titled Navigating Anti-Imperialism and Anti-Authoritarianism, the Syrian Uprising and the Question of Palestine. In this episode of Arab Voices, episode number 1071, I will air that lecture in its entirety and some of the questions and answers that followed, and I plan to air the rest of the questions and answers during the next episode of Arab Voices. During his lecture, Professor Haddad discussed the complexities of the Syrian uprising and how interventions by regional actors, ostensibly supporting the uprising, had a detrimental effect on its original inclusive nature, which led to the sectarianization, weaponization, and internationalization of the uprising. He also addressed the significant implications of the devastating Syrian war on Syrians, Palestinians, and the region. He addressed the interplay between the Syrian situation and its influence on the Palestine question, particularly within the dynamic landscape of shifting alliances in the region. Professor Haddad's lecture emphasized the need for a nuanced understanding of the intricacies surrounding the Syrian case, highlighting its far-reaching repercussions within Syria and the broader Middle East. Let's listen in to his lecture, and the voice you will hear first is that of Jihad Abu Salim, Executive Director of the Palestine Center.
We are hosting this annual event in May this year as the culmination of a month-long programming series commemorating the 75th year since the start of the Nakba, and outlines the long road ahead in the path of Palestinian freedom. Despite the loss and dispossession of Palestinians beginning with the Nakba, we also recognize and honor the perseverance of our people in all realms. Not only is the Jerusalem Fund committed to providing relief for Palestinians as a necessary first step towards their dignified empowerment, its Palestine Center was started, this space, by Professor Sharabi to bring Palestinian voices to Washington, D.C. And the Palestine Center has been and continues to be a space for Palestinians, Arabs, and those who work in service of liberation to share their experiences, their knowledge, and expertise, and exchange ideas for the betterment of our societies from the United States to the Arab region. In 1994, a graduate student at Georgetown University co-interviewed Hisham Sharabi for the Arab Studies Journal. The interviewers asked Professor Sharabi to identify the challenges presented to those who study the Arab world and how to overcome them. Sharabi replied that one of the challenges, and I quote, is to be found in the classroom and in the mode of instruction practiced in it. Here, instruction is largely based on the concepts and methods of area studies and a vocabulary long transcended in other disciplines. This is why serious students with above average awareness need to put in more time and greater independent effort to find a way to for devising their own conceptual and methodological approaches, end quote. It seems that Sharabi's interviewer agreed that there was, in fact, a need for new methodological and pedagogical approaches to Arab world studies. The graduate student I mentioned is none other than our speaker today, Professor Bassam Haddad. We have much to learn from his accomplishments. Professor Haddad's scholarship, institution building, and fostering of knowledge production in service of a better future in the Arab region and beyond. These are all reasons why we are so thrilled to hear from him tonight. More specifically, Professor Haddad is the founding director of the Middle East and Islamic Studies program and associate professor at the Shar School of Policy and Government at George Mason University. He is the author of Business Networks in Syria, The Political Economy of Authoritarian Resilience, published in 2011, and is the co-editor of A Critical Political Economy of the Middle East, published in 2021. Bassam is co-founder and co-editor of Jadaliyya, and is the executive director of the Arab Studies Institute. He serves as the founding editor of the Arab Studies Journal and the Knowledge Production Project. He is co-producer and director of the award-winning documentary film about Baghdad, a remarkable work which we are proud to have in our collection here at the Palestine Center. He is the director of the acclaimed three-part documentary series, Arabs and Terrorism. Bassam served on the board of the Arab Council for the Social Sciences and the executive director and the executive producer of Status Audiovisual Podcast. He is also the executive editor, of the Knowledge Production Project and director of the Middle East Studies Pedagogy Initiative, MESPI. He received MESA's Jur La Bacharach Service Award in 2017 for his service to the profession. And currently, he is working on his second Syria book titled Understanding the Syrian Tragedy, Regime, Opposition, Outsiders, forthcoming with Stanford University Press. Professor Haddad's lecture tonight will focus on the intertwining themes of anti-imperialism and anti-authoritarianism, particularly as they relate to Syria and Palestine amid more than a decade of uprising, counter-revolution, and international intervention in the region. Professor Haddad will delve into the role the question of Palestine played in discussion and debates around the Syrian case within the ever-changing context of the Middle East, including China's growing involvement. Additionally, he will provide insight into the intricate dynamics of the Syrian case, where the juxtaposition of contrasting local, regional, and international state and non-state actors unsettled historical paradigms of revolution and resistance. So without further ado, please join me in welcoming Professor Bassam Haddad.
Thank you all for being here. Thank you, Jihad, and everyone at the Jerusalem Fund for putting together this event. I am in awe of so much around this event, not least the memorial of Hisham Sharabi, my ex-professor at Georgetown University, and so much more. And I'll say a bit about that in just a moment. And thanks to all the wonderful faces that are here that I don't know and the ones that I know as well. I dedicate this talk to Professor Hisham Sharabi and to my mother, Asmahan, who passed a few years ago. She worshipped Palestine and taught us all what fortitude meant. And also to Adnan and Rabab Usta, as well as to Dr. Musa, all Nakba survivors who were honored at the Nakba event that Jihad addressed. Thank you all for your presence. We are empowered by your resilience every day. I am grateful for this opportunity to address this topic that has been quite central to discussions and debates on the Syrian uprising, but it was not always addressed explicitly, making for an even more complicated discursive terrain. I have to admit that I may have bitten more than I could chew in one talk, given the title here, which is The Syrian Uprising and the Question of Palestine, Navigating Anti-Imperialism and Anti-Authoritarianism. This much will become clear quite fast, actually. To avoid promising too much, I intend to foreground the main issues in this talk and can address more in the Q&A. I might have to remove some sections as I move forward. I do realize that many are waiting to hear the substance on the Syrian uprising and the question of Palestine. I will get there. I've been getting there for a dozen years now. But I imagine we need to pause a bit to address the context within which this relationship takes place. So please bear with me. First, however, I'd like to say a few words about my relationship with Hisham Sharabi, which I was asked to address, and I'm very happy I was. You can read about his brilliance and impact, which is also partly why many of you, of course, are here. Surely we are familiar, and we are familiar or have read diligently his remarkable body of work and witnessed his impact beyond the classroom and academia. Besides his celebrated book, Neo-Patriarchy, among others, I personally was influenced by his attempt to theorize the Arab world, hence my interest in a book he edited under the title Theory, Politics, and the Arab World, and similar works that bridged paradigms while dismantling others. But I will preserve the next few words and anecdotes to the lighter side, the more personal dimensions. Professor Sharabi was a teacher and a mentor, as well as someone who, for reasons I didn't get at the time, would routinely invite me and my friends, including my best friend Sinan Antoun and Ibrahim Ali, among others, as well as our significant others who shall remain nameless, to his home for occasional casual dinners and drinks, where occasionally other people we used to read would be in attendance, people like Halim Barakat, Adonis, and many others. Yeah, they were mostly dudes, I have to say. And yes, even giants of the day would be in attendance at Hisham Sharabi's home, as he was a towering figure, always rocking reprimanding eyes. It didn't matter how big or famous you are, when they're around him, it felt like they're in his classroom. We also would invite him over to our homes, and to our amazement, he would come almost every time. We had memorable and unforgettable experiences with Dr. Sharabi in the classroom and at his home or ours. We still revel in some of these memories, Sinan and I. I can literally go on for a long time sharing stories that will change the nature of this event, but don't worry, I will not. I will just share a couple of instances. We all suspected he had an acerbic sense of humor, but were not quite sure because Hisham carried himself like he is beyond reach, at least when I met him in the 1990s. We've had several incidents. One of them, I'll share a couple. One time at Sinan's house, he was invited to dinner and everyone was talking about politics. And then somebody jumped in and said something about something social. So Hisham looked at them, and of course there was silence in the room. And he goes, خلينا هلأ بالسياسي بعدين اجتماعيات. So basically, everyone followed. Let's keep talking about politics, and then we'll go to social matters. And that was a very interesting moment that we still recall. Another moment, at one point, and when I was taking a graduate seminar with him, auditing actually, because Sinan and I would audit his and Hanna Batatu's courses for fun. He was talking about Marx and communism. There was an impasse in the discussion. So he elected to schedule an additional session outside class. After setting the time for the session, he looked around the table to make sure everyone can attend. And he said, let me know if you have a class conflict. While everyone shuddered at the thought of not acquiescing to the time, I naturally looked at him and said out loud, class conflict? Referencing the discussion on Marx. He also naturally paused, turned around, and stared at me for a few seconds with his typical charismatic face and posture. I was not sure whether he was resisting laughing or meditating about how he is going to murder me or kick me out of the classroom. you could hear a pin drop after what seemed to be ages. He turned around and continued his lecture. That's it. That's the story. He would have made an outstanding poker player. I'll reserve other stories to other times. I'll start with addressing the impasse that I discuss. It's going to be a long talk. So if you have coffee, there's also coffee and tea over there. If you have drugs that arouse, please feel free, because it's going to be a pretty long ride and not always a pretty one, given the subject matter. Today, I'll address how discussions and debates around the Syrian uprising involved the Palestine question, at least for some, for good or for ill. The uprising was against decades of political repression and an exploitative neoliberal turn by the Syrian regime. But the counter-revolution, if you will, centered the question of Palestine as an imperialist and or colonial extension. First and foremost, I would like to ask you to imagine with me as we navigate these matters, rather than simply parse out the details about authoritarianism, imperialism, neoliberalism, colonialism, and so on. We have to imagine basically the moment. We have to imagine the motivations of various groups. We have to imagine the heat of that moment, which I am glad that we're not in right now for many, many reasons, so we can reflect and think and even talk to each other, because we couldn't talk to each other at the time during the Syrian uprising. Irrespective of how precise some of these terms and adjectives are, it is a recipe for controversy. But we should not walk away. These terms will be deployed again and again, and the dynamic animating anti-authoritarianism and anti-imperialism is happening in various parts of the world today. This dynamic is here to stay so long as dissent vis-a-vis authoritarian regimes continue to take place in a context where imperial powers will pounce on the opportunity to leverage legitimate concerns for their own ends. And we will understand it less, much less resolve it, if we are not having a serious discussion about how imperialism and authoritarianism, however defined, are indeed intertwined. Specifically, how the context within which these contradictions take place is global capitalism on the one hand, and on the other, how emancipatory solidarity and formulas continue to be restricted by the juridical and political organizing principle of the nation state. And these two, global capitalism and the nation state, are now firmly and organically linked, hence the perennial intractability. In the context of the Syrian uprising, especially among those who supported it in principle, the debates were governed, delimited, as well as sabotaged by the very simple fact that a victory of any one camp over another had to be fitted into the nation state outcome, which reposes the same problems and legally administers the same constraints, whoever wins. This is a critique of the concept of the nation state, if this was not clear. How else can you explain the return of the Syrian regime to the Arab League, where some of the same parties that were prosecuting the war against it are present and often welcoming? The nation state itself as a concept and reality, and how it can or may be put to use by an international or regional system of capital, is often more important or lucrative than its ideology or even actions, exposing repeatedly the limitations of the nation state for emancipatory politics, which explains how those who supported the uprising against the Syrian regime were some of the same parties who bankrolled it for decades, and the same parties, or some of the same parties, who now are back in the same camp. The same applies to the question of Palestine and Israel's settler colonial existence. While envisaging an exit or a solution to the question of Palestine might lead to self-determination of a people within the framework of the nation state, this framework, the nation state, will not result in self-determination for all people within it, within the existing global political economy where capital is king or queen. Don't get me wrong, it would be a tectonic shift if this happens, not least in the context of one secular democratic state for all in Palestine. So why navigate, how to navigate these poles? of anti-authoritarianism and anti-imperialism. Short of proposing an alternative principle to the international state system for organizing the world, let us just be cognizant of the contradictions that allow that always already exist, even prior to conflicts or revolutions. One problem is that occasional and many close observers do not consider the nation state as a problematic starting point to begin with in and of itself. We can leave this discussion to another annual lecture. The main dynamic I would like to move on to now is that of anti-authoritarianism and anti-imperialism. One can easily claim to oppose both, but that's simplistic and theoretical, as well as divorced from the real-world experiences we witness where the two forces collide, imperialism and authoritarianism, such as when the United States set out to invade Iraq 20 years ago. Most of us didn't just say we oppose both the imperialism of the United States and the authoritarianism of the Iraqi regime, even if we put all these words in quotation marks, it's all the same. People the world over adopted a position vis-a-vis the invasion. So opposing both, while sound in principle, is practically a cop-out in most cases where people intend to take a position or action on that particular and immediate question. Hence the importance of this theme, which has been recurring in the past decades and wreaked havoc in some cases, such as the Syrian uprising, again, for good or for ill. In this century alone, this dynamic played out repeatedly in the region and around the world, with Iraq, Iran, Libya, and Afghanistan as some regional examples. One can highlight the paramount case of Syria, but also Iran and Libya specifically, where the situation demanded a position other than simply opposing all these bad things or on principle when it came to specific policies or actions, like actual sanctions or invasions. We all had to justify our position on specific questions we chose to answer, and this is where the navigation in the title is paramount. And it's a moving target. One can oppose the US sanctions on Iran, which are penalizing the Iranian public, while supporting the recent mass